Greetings and salutations. My name is DJ Head. Here to talk to my brother real quick. Should be a very honest conversation. My brother Mozzie, fresh home.
Come on.
Welcome fella. Home.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Let me go ahead and, you know what I'm saying? I see you, when I first seen you walk in, you had this glow about you.
Okay.
Right? And it wasn't the lotion, it was like spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So before we get into all of the emotions and everything, how do you feel?
I'm lit, man. Life platinum. Due to my current circumstances, I ain't able to wiggle like I want to and everything, being on their paperwork, but I can't complain under these restraints, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm here, present. You feel me? I ain't got no financial discrepancies or nothing like that.
Right.
So, yeah, man, life lit, man. I'm enjoying myself. I'm at peace. I'm whole. I'm fulfilled.
I love that. I think that, and obviously we here because, you know, you went and knocked out an album. I mean, I know you have been working on it before everything had went down, but I think it's important that the people hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We've been waiting to hear from you as fans and as homies.
Yeah.
And I know you anxious to get your voice and your messaging out there.
For sure, for sure.
And also, you know me. Throughout this conversation, you know I'm a hold no punches.
Come on.
So that's what we're here to do. We're here to have an honest conversation. But first and foremost, welcome. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, like, when it comes to, I guess, your home life, right? You went through a lot of stuff, like, in the last 2 years, 3 years. I mean, it's been a lifetime for you.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last 2-3 years specifically, home life, though, for Mozzie, what does that look like when you come home? Because I know you got the little ones, and it's just like, that's a complicated situation. So I know you said life is platinum, you feel great, but how do you feel when you go home? Because you still, once the lights go off, the microphones come off, you go home, and you with the, I know you active pops, like, what is that like for you now? Do you look at it different?
Nah, you know, one thing, first and foremost, triple salute to my significant other. She hold it down. Just like, you feel me, well-rounded. And she keep everything grounded. Growing up with my granny, stability was like the biggest thing for her, was just being stable. You know what I'm saying? That's why she participated in the real estate type of time. You feel me? Because, like, she wanted to own her own property. She wanted to just have stability for her children. She didn't want nobody, no landlord, telling her she got a wiggle or et cetera. And so so stability for me is big. Mm-hmm. And I got that in my household. I got stability, my kids is well taken care of. I spend about 6 to 8 hours out the day doing my thing as far as studio wise or running my errands. But I make sure I make it home 10 o'clock max. The kids, they doing good in school. They lit. So like I was saying, I can't complain. The home life is, you know, that's your peace and serenity. That's where you be able to, you know what I'm saying, me just kind of like, you just, you feel me?
Is it more of a decompression? Like, is it more like, okay, I don't have the pressure of the world on me? Or is it more pressure because those are the little ones that you downloading lessons and life into? Which one is it?
Nah, I think it's kind of like both. It's kind of like both. Because like you said, you know, it's when I come in there, I get to relax and you know, but at the same time, it's the pressure of making sure everything is straight, making sure everything is legitimate, making sure that, you know what, I'm doing this on behalf of them, for the benefit of them. And so, you know, I'm kind of like trying to set it up to where, even if I'm not here, they legitimate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if it just happened to get ugly out of nowhere, man, and lightning strikes and it's spicy on my end, I still want to make sure their future is legitimate. I still want to make sure they have that, you know, they live a prosperous lifestyle. And so that's the pressure of it. But as far as coming home, Yeah, that's the weight of my world. Is when I walk in that door, the weight of the world is off my shoulders, man. You know, that's the girly faces. They embrace me. That's unconditional love. That's yeah. what. If you was to ask me, where do unconditional love exist in this world? For me, it's that household.
That household,
for sure.
The little ones.
Yeah.
I want to get into. You brought up Granny, and I know that's like a tough subject. You know what I'm saying? Because you know you lost Granny, but I think that it's important for people that's looking at you as somebody they look up to. Like, well, how does Mozzie deal with these things and stuff like that? And so I see you always wear.
Oh yeah.
And I'm gonna just tell you. I look at like Nipsey's relationship with his grandma, right? And then I look at your relationship with your granny, and I look at my relationship with my grand. My grandma passed like 2 years ago too.
Same mine.
So I get it. Going to granny house and like, you know, whatever, but your relationship was a little different. And I noticed in the song, you was like, you know, the same sofa that granny, you know.
Yeah, granny died on the same couch I used to sleep on.
So from a perspective, putting the music aside, rapping aside, as a man, does that mess with your mind? Like when you look at it, like, From a psychological standpoint, because I feel like we deal with our traumas different. Some people go to the substances, some people go to the streets, some people go to anger. Like, how do you deal with something like that?
Initially, in the beginning, you know, I dove in that styrofoam cup. I dove in it head first. You know what I'm saying?
And that was because of the loss of Granny?
Nah, I was already tampering with it, but the loss of Granny just intensified it. It just, you know what I'm saying, instead of pouring a 4, we're going to pour an 8, you know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
And so, that's how I was dealing with it. I was sedating myself. I was sleepwalking. And I think it helped. It helped a lot. But these songs that you hear, that's really my therapeutic session because it gave me a chance to let it out, you know what I'm saying? And then not only that, I write it, recite it, and then I get the tweak on it. So when I'm on the freeway by myself, man, and the song come on, I mean, I can shed tears. This is, you know, this is like my safe haven in that low when I'm to the necklace. So I'm able to shed tears, man, and not, you know, not looking for sympathy or nothing. I'm just, you know, I'm this how I'm dealing with my pain. This how I'm, you know, this how I'm coping with my loss. So I think that's where most of my therapy come. That's where I was able to get over, you know, get over that hump, man. It's just really just, it's, you know, this music is like having a conversation with oneself.
Right.
You feel me? And so that really helped me a lot. You know, just celebrating her life, whether it's her birthday and we throw a gangster party, or I be tweaking in my journal. And
you have a journal?
Yeah, well, it's really a rap book, but it's, you know, I do more than just rapping in there. My to-do list, my goals, how I'm feeling today, what irritated my soul, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, and then the other day, I was caught up in my feelings, and I said, let me call Granny. I'm gonna just call her. I called her. I was expecting to get, you know, this number has been disconnected and no longer in service. But that wasn't the case. She was on the answer machine. And my auntie, you know, that's her mom. And so my auntie, she been paying the bill like regularly.
Wow.
Like she's still here. And so I left a message. How you doing, moms? I'm just breathing on you. Love you dearly. You know, and I went on whatever I was hollering at her about, but all these is a form of therapy for me. Everything that I do in the name of her is a form of therapy to me. When I, you know, this necklace, when I wake up in the morning and I put that toothpaste on it, man, and get the scrubbing him down, and you know what I'm saying, I get to look at her, it's a glance. When I walk in my house, the little photographs and the paintings I got of her, it's all, this is a therapeutic session, man. And I'm still not over that loss, but I got over that hill.
That's good that you brought that. And also, I don't want to skip over, like, a loss is a loss, right? Because I was even, Davo was showing me the album cover, right? And it's like, you lost these homies to the streets or to prison or incarcerate, whatever the case may be, right? Is the loss of a loved one just the loss of a loved one, or is it different when it's somebody in your household?
man, it's somebody who raised me. This is day one. You know, this is different. This granny, this your heart and soul. This the one, this your number one fan. This the one who instilled all the principles, you know what I'm saying, me? This the one who taught you about morals and principles. Respect, this the one I respect. You know, when we was kids, I wouldn't walk in her house without pulling up my pants first.
Really?
This the one who wake you up 5 o'clock in the morning when it's still dark out, man, and make you mow the lawn. You know what I'm saying? This the one come to your high school and slap the shit out of you for being, you know what I mean, for missing class. You know, this the one who whooped you in the bathroom in preschool. This the one.
Pinch you in church.
Yeah, this like, pinch you in church. Yeah. This the one who bail you out, cuss you out, and then take you, you know what I mean, to a restaurant. You feel me? All in the same, in that order. So, nah, this my dog for real. This the one I feel, this the only person on earth that I feel I could be vulnerable towards, you know what I'm saying, where I could really tell her my truth. Everybody else, I gotta mask my masculinity, man. I can't be Timothy Patterson with everybody else. But Granny, this who I, you know what I'm saying, me, so.
What did Granny call you?
She called me Tim. Tim? Tim?
Okay. So I also wanted to talk about more home stuff too, because you talk about it in the raps, you talk about it to me in interviews, whatever. We all know Granny. What about, like, because you was raised by Granny, right? Primarily. What about, like, moms, pops? Like, I never asked you about that before. And I can't believe when I was going back through our conversations, like, I've never asked you about that before.
No, that's my squad. That's my squad. To this day, that's my squad. Mom, she called me, text me every day. Sweetest person in the world, never whooped me. Just sweet, like just caring, giving. A gangster though, but you feel me? So you know, anything I can do for her, I do for her. Anything she can do for me, she's an individual that I can always call upon, and you know, she there, present. And so, you know, she had her beautiful struggles, but she overcame her beautiful struggle, so I most definitely applied that. Same with Pops. He was in and out of penitentiary. He finally got it right, and you know, he vowed to never go back. And the path that he, you know, maneuvering on right now, it looked like, you know what I'm saying, me, he kind of like honored what he said he gonna do. And so he just pulled down, you know, they visit me.
Yeah.
I can almost say frequently. You know what I'm saying, me? Or in between frequently and occasionally, but they blow down on me. So mom, she come, pull up, clean the mansion up, start cleaning the mansion. I'm talking, when I say clean the mansion, deep clean the mansion.
Window seals.
Everything, man. You feel, I feel obligated to give her a couple bands on behalf of that, you hear me? And then Pops, he just blew down on me and, you know, got acquainted with his grandchildren. I got the, you know, Grilly Face Gang, so he came to function with them. We pulled up to Joey, sat down. I'm saying, me ordered a couple of passion fruit margaritas or something like that. And, you know, we kind of had a little semi-gangster party. And he doing this thing, working, staying out the way. You feel me? Just living life, enjoying life.
How do they feel about Mozzie, the artist?
They love it. They love me. They love it. I be having to tell moms, like, calm down. You feel me? Everybody in that jurisdiction don't function with me. So while you know, heavy promoting that, that's my son.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Me. And so, you know, she done bumped into a couple altercations where it was fake way spicy. So she get it now.
Gotcha.
She get it now. Pops, he can't deny it. He looked at almost my identical twin. You know what I'm saying? We saying, I think I'm taller than him. You know what I'm saying? Lord knows I'm only 5 foot suffer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, he can't deny it if he want to. Everybody in the hood love him. They be calling me. I just seen Pops, man. He done pulled up to the big park. Whoa, 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 whoa. They like, man, they just like you. But nah, that's my dog. So, you know, he juiced. He was also in a, he tampered with the music, you know, R&B singer. And so so this, the dream that I'm living was, you know, that's kind of like his dream too. So to see me actually, you know what I'm saying, me progress in this field, he loved me for it.
I got that. You talked about, I want to go back because you talked about how you dealt with the loss of Granny. You said you dove into the double cup. Now, I remember you did Kick the Cup Challenge years ago. And we had you up talking about, we was doing going crazy on the radio with that and everything. But then I seen and I watched the Count Time video, which you just dropped, and the cup is back.
Yeah.
So is that back or is like, what is that?
I mean, you got to understand addiction is real. Addiction is addiction. So, you know, somebody can stop smoking weed temporarily and we applaud them and you feel me, we congratulate them. And then they double back on it. And like I said, it's just a form of therapy. The cup is a form of therapy to me. But I think in that particular video, I was on alcohol. I've been messing with that Donovan Julio. But I'm just saying though, addiction is real. And you know, I didn't have my struggles with it where I put it down, picked it up, put it down, picked it up, put it down, picked it up. And anybody who's had an addiction to something, you know, of that magnitude, completely understand.
I feel that.
But I don't promote it in my song. What'd he say? At least I don't promote it on my gram. At least I don't promote it on the gram. It's my addiction, though.
It's my addiction. That's what he does say. So when you talk, because I remember when we was having, I don't remember the number you said you had spent in 1 year, but it was like $250,000 or something like that you said you spent on the addiction, right? But then nobody ever talks about like what you go through emotionally when you fighting the demons and stuff like that. And I think DMX is one of them artists who did a great job at illustrating what that looks like to fight a demon like addiction, right? He would always talk about, you know, if I'm keeping it real, I never knew, I was so young, I didn't know what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. I just knew he was fighting something. Mm-hmm. And he would be praying and all that kind of stuff. And then later on, we all kind of found out, okay, this is what's going on and stuff like that. But we never understand what the person is going through, mm-hmm. right? So can you speak to some of that? Like, because it might be somebody else going through the same thing as far as how to deal with that psychologically, mentally, emotionally.
For me personally, it's my children. Just looking at my children and be like, I gotta be here. I gotta be here for the long haul. Longevity, man, I gotta be here. And so that's where I kind of was, like, that was the inspiration for me to put it down. But like I said, addiction is real. And you know, death, I probably lose one of my partners. And you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I can't be vulnerable with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, Granny gone. So, you know, I get vulnerable with that cup, man. Like that's, I'm saying, man, it's like you have a real relationship with whatever drug that, you know what I'm saying, man, you fighting. We just gonna call them your demons. Whatever demon you fighting, you know, it ain't just, some people just look at it like it's a drug or whatever it is, but the person who dealing with that got a relationship with that. Mm. It's a real relationship, you feel me? And so, I just feel like you gotta want it for self. You gotta want change. I was driving on the freeway. I was going to go handle one of my court cases in what was that, Vegas. Mm-hmm. And I was driving and I'm on my way, right? And so I'm coming from LA, driving to Vegas, and I'm sipping, I'm smoking, right? My heart hurting. And I'm like, damn, it's killing me. You feel me? And so I kind of like I told you, I had my conversations with Granny whenever I'm in that vehicle to the necklace driving a long period of time. You feel me? So I start having a conversation with Granny and I was like, I need help. Mm. I need help. I need help. I want help. But it's like, I'm not finna enroll myself into no, what are they called?
Facility.
Nah, I ain't going to no facility. You're not finna see on Instagram or publicly that Mozzie is in some type of facility due to, nah, we ain't doing that, right? I just feel like I'm strong enough to beat it without a facility. So I'm asking Granny for help. Now, when I get to Vegas to go, you know, I think it's a firearm case. You know, my lawyer come and tell me good news. Time served on that case, you know what I'm saying? They're gonna give you a little probation or whatever. But bad news, the U.S. Marshals is here. U.S. Marshals here, they, you know what I'm saying, picked up the case in L.A. And they finna haul you off. And I'm like, what? Anyways, they haul me off, do they Dougie. I end up in somebody facility, I think in Pahrump or something. And eventually they gave me bail after 3-4 days. And when I get out on bail, now they piss testing me. So I'm saying all that to say, on my way to handle my business, I asked Granny for help. The U.S. Marshals was my help. If I would have had a regular state case, I would have bailed out on that state case, and they don't piss test you. You feel me? The state they waiting for you to get your, you know what I mean? They waiting till they give you whatever time you're gonna do, and then they send you to prison. But the feds, they like, hold on, while you out on trial, I think it's called, I forget what it's called, pretrial. While you out on pretrial,
yeah,
you gonna piss test, you gonna do this, you gonna do that. So then it became for me like, I'm out on pretrial, I'm not trying to go in earlier than expected. Nigga, I got responsibilities, I got these children to take care of, so I'ma abide by their rules and regulations. Yeah. So I kicked the cup, right? I kicked the cup again, that's on the back end before I kicked the cup. I mean, that's on the back end of me kicking the cup once before. But anyways, I'm saying all that to say, the U.S. Marshals and they program and they stiff stipulations, the feds, they forced me to kick the cup. Mm-hmm. Now, how I looked at it is, Granny answering my prayers.
Facts.
You feel me?
That's exactly what that was.
On that, so it's like I was granted what I asked for, and so instead of looking at it in a way where it'd be like, damn, they got me doing all this, it's like, nah, this is what you asked for. You know what I'm saying, me? And so this is what you got, and I appreciate it.
That's fire. I think people miss those things. My spiritual advisor been teaching me to like listen to the signs and pay attention to what's going on, because if you ask for something, you're going to get it.
For sure. You look for something, you're going to find it.
Facts.
Most definitely.
Facts. So I want to get into, so you did, when you dropped Survivor's Guilt,
mm-hmm.
I think you went to jail a week after that. It was a little bit after, or no.
Survivor's Guilt. Yep. Now you're right.
I'm right.
It was a week after.
It was a week after.
Yeah.
Okay. So before you had went to turn yourself in, did you already know, like, okay, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna drop the project so that way I can serve them, I give them what they need, and then I'm gonna go sit down? Or did it just happen to work out that way?
Nah, they wanted to drop the project. The label didn't know I was going to sit down.
Gotcha.
I was trying to keep that on the under.
You knew?
I knew I was going to sit down.
Okay.
So, you know me, working with my squad, me and my squad, we came to the conclusion that we need to drop it. It's more beneficial if we drop it while I'm here to promote it. And you know what I'm saying? And I wanted to see the reaction. I'm not gonna be able to see the reaction and how it's taken off, or, you know, this is my baby. You know what I'm saying? I cultivated this. And so I wanted to make it the graduation date. You feel me?
Yeah.
And so we all agreed that we should drop it before I turned myself in, and that's what we did. And then we kind of had, like, you know what I'm saying, a rollout of while I was in there, how we was going, you know what I'm saying, map it out and press play on certain things, and, you know what I'm saying, that was me and my team. We came up with the idea of dropping it before I went in there, just so I could see, you know what I'm saying, the reaction and be able to actually tweak on it and listen to it and enjoy it with the people.
What's interesting is I remember when it all was going down, because I don't know if we talked right before that or we talked a little bit before that, but I remember when the album dropped and like nobody knew. Like you said, like you kept it, mm-hmm. intentionally, you kept it low. Like, okay, I know this is happening, but I just want, it was that because you don't want people talking, you was already prepping yourself. You didn't want people asking you about it in the interview, or wherever you going as part of the promotion for the album? Or is it just because you didn't look at it like a big deal?
Nah, you know, I've been in and out of jail for a lifetime. So I don't parade that. I felt like that was a failure.
I feel
that. You know what I'm saying? And I felt like that was a setback. And I just didn't want to promote. I didn't want to promote my L's. I didn't want to promote my setbacks. You feel me? I didn't want people to know that during this process I was at my weakest hours. I was in my weakest hours. Like, you know, I was actually going through something, man. And I was just trying to suppress it. You know, I got kids. I got full custody of one of my children. And they depend on me. I got a squad that depend on me. Not only my household, I got family, relatives that depend on me. I got relatives that look up to me. And you know, I got people in the trenches that look up to me. And I just didn't want to promote, you know, negativity. I'm not really one that you know, my music, I'm just telling you my lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera. But as far as my personal things that I'm going through right now, like if it has a negative effect, I don't want to promote that. I run from it. So that's what I was doing. I was running from, you know, telling the people that I got to turn myself in. I wasn't looking for no type of sympathy that I have to turn myself in. And I wasn't trying to capitalize off of turning myself in. Yeah, it was a mixture of all that, man.
I'm glad you said that, because that was the perception, I believe, from a lot of people. It was like, oh, he put the album out because he finna go sit down. Once we knew. Mm-hmm. Once you turned yourself in, it was like, oh, that's why he put the album out. Where it's actually not the case. It's more just like, this was coming anyway.
This was coming. This was on the way. You know what I'm saying? But I had to go, you know, I had to go follow through with my commitment. And so, you know what I mean? I knocked it out. But like the dude on Black Panther, he passed away without telling us he had cancer.
That's true. Chadwick Boseman.
Triple salute him. I love him for that. My grandmother, she passed away. She didn't tell nobody except her immediates of what type of, you know, internal affairs she was dealing with. And then after that, she didn't have a funeral. And I asked her why she don't want to have a funeral. And she said, because I don't want the people to see you at your weakest hours.
Damn.
And that touched me. I just love her for that. You know what I'm saying? And so that's, you know, that's kind of how I live my life. You know, if I'm going through something, you ain't gonna see me get on Instagram, man, and complain. I'm with compliments over complaints. And so anytime I'm going through something, I'm not into complaining, and you'll never see me cussing out a label or, you know, I mean, interrupted by anything a label has done or what they're not doing. It's accountability. I feel like, you know what I'm saying, if something's going wrong, it's me. I don't care how it's painted, what happened. If I get robbed, that was me. I shouldn't have been there. Mm. I should have been on point. If my label is, you know what I'm saying, draining me out, that's me. I should have been able to orchestrate my, you know what I'm saying? So I learned from my mistakes. So everything is accountability with me.
I love that, bro. A lot of people avoid personal accountability.
For sure.
Accountability is like the word for me.
Come on.
I'm going to read you something, and mm-hmm. I just want you to tell me how you feel after I read it, okay? Mozzie turned himself in on Thursday, July 28th, right? It stems from a traffic stop that went down in Culver City, California. When he was pulled over for traffic violation, authorities smelled marijuana and searched the vehicle. Upon conducting the search, they discovered a gun and rounds and ammunition and a small amount of marijuana. He was then arrested later on. He was then released later on bail. Mozzie said, life comes at you fast. Sometimes shit gets real and you gotta take that deal.
Yeah, sometimes you can't bargain, you gotta take that deal.
Now, I remember I was talking to Dave about that, and he was saying that y'all had talked about that specific line, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people, to what you just said about taking L's, the accountability thing, people don't take that, right?
Yeah.
So I want your thoughts on, well, first of all, when you said that, what was going through your mind? Was it the accountability thing, or was it more or less, let me just knock this out?
Nah, both. You know, taking accountability, let me go walk this time down. I probably needed this. I look at the benefits of the situation. I ain't really focused on the L, you know what I'm saying? I'm losing, you know, countless amount of money. I'm losing time with my children. I'm not there, I'm not present. I feel like a failure in that aspect. I can carry on, you feel me, with the L's that I felt like I was taking from that. But let's highlight the benefits. You know what I'm saying? I'm drug free. I'm able to get clarity, get my mind right. You know what I'm saying? I'm able to tweak on these books, man, and, you know, what I want to transition into, you feel me? So, you know, I want to tweak. It's another aspect of my life that I'm ready to transition into outside of music. And so I'm able to, you know, apply a lot of sweat equity in that field, you feel me? And so, you know, I was just, you know, I'm looking at the benefits, but going back to that statement, that's a shout out Messy Marv, free Messy Marv, one of my favorite rappers growing up. And he said that, he says, you know, sometimes it get that real. Sometimes you can't bargain, you gotta take that deal. And that's a quote that I've been living with my whole life. Anytime it gets spicy, anytime it gets spunky, I think every time I went to jail, I done recited that quote. You feel
right,
me?
Right.
And so, you know, that's what type of time I was on, man. Like, you know, let's eat the ill. You feel me? However, you know, I follow through with my commitments. I don't run from them. If I'm committed to do this, let's knock it out, whatever it is.
Shout out to Mess.
Yeah.
Mozzie also said, chin up, chest out. Love you, right?
Yeah.
This case made me realize that everything I have accomplished and built can be taken away because of a single mistake or lapse in judgment. Most I feel like those are the things people don't talk about. I didn't see nobody talking about what you said right there, right?
Yeah.
Because it could be that fast.
That fast.
You could be coming out of a club, or you could be at a light, or, you know, we see it over and over again. But then you also spoke to, like, you take accountability for your actions. You also hold your L.
Mm-hmm.
You don't promote the L, nor do you celebrate it.
Yeah.
You own it.
Yeah.
But then you also are unapologetic at how you have to move.
Most death.
Because it's like, I gotta go home. And I remember you talking about being a rapper is extremely dangerous, and nobody talks about that. You wanna speak on that?
It is dangerous. I think being anything, I think just living life as an African American is dangerous, right? But you put the emphasis on it when you young, rich, black. It's like it's emphasis, you feel me? And not only that, majority of the rappers, we coming out the trenches. So we got a treacherous mentality. It's something that still lingers within us. You feel me? And that, you know, keep one up top, stay treacherous, stay dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, we live by that Usalama first. So you know it's kind of like what they call that, what's that book? It's like when it's a book called,
what's it about?
It's about whatever energy you put out, it brings back. Law of attraction, man. And you know, we talk about participating in thug life activities in our music. And so we naturally attract it. The way we operate, we naturally attract it. You feel me? So, you know, I think that alone, you know, is dangerous in a sense. You feel me? Just the way we operate. We operate in a dangerous manner. And we know we kind of like, I mean, we got all these securities. Mm-hmm. You got gang members with you. They know that Usalama first, rap shit secondary. So they strapped. They on that type of time. They on demonic time. You know, we bulletproofing the cars because we know what come with this. And so we done watched countless entertainers / rappers, you know what I'm saying, me check out on us early,
yeah.
You know, just for being a public figure. You feel me? And sometimes it's us. Sometimes we don't understand how big we is, because it's us. That's we live truth. In this body.
That's true.
So we navigating like we just regular human beings, but that ain't the case, man. Somebody you gonna get brownie points for knocking somebody down as a public figure. You know, your name, you damn near become a public figure for knocking something down. You feel me? And most definitely, it's a treacherous occupation. But the benefits, man, the benefits is, you know, we was already living like that in the hood. We was already, you know what I'm saying, when we was broke, it was already spicy for us coming out the club or pulling over to this gas station. It's kind of like, in a sense, the same thing, except now it's on a bigger scale because it'll get spicy for you in LA. It'll get spunky for you in Atlanta. You know what I mean? It'll get treacherous for you in New York because you're a public figure. So, you know, and they expect you to stand on what you rap about. Facts. Too.
And they're going to try you.
For sure.
The fella said, my lawyers also told me there's a recent study that proves the number one cause of death among black rappers is murder, specifically by gunfire. And then you said that you were afraid that your kids end up fatherless, and that's your primary reason for carrying a gun without a permit. It's a fear that all black rappers carry with them all the time. I know that does not legally justify my actions, but I took some comfort in the fact that I knew with certainty that I was not possessing a gun for illegal purposes, right? It's a defense.
Most definitely. I'm rich. I ain't running around here looking for nobody with this firearm. I'm up, you know what I'm saying? That's the last thing on my mind. But at the same time, one gotta protect himself, you feel me? I got on, what's this? It's about an 80 ball, you know what I'm saying? The chain, something light on a Monday night, they over a dollar. You know what I'm saying? Wristwear going yay, yay. And, you know, my name itself hold weight. So, like we was just discussing, man, you know, they gonna expect me to stand on what I'm hollering. And if you not, if you ain't standing on what you hollering, then you know, you an easy lick. Yeah. You feel me? They gonna wipe you down. So, you know, I'm just one up top, man. I'm just trying to protect myself. I wanna live. I wanna see what it look like, you know what I'm saying? To jump in them 50s and 60s. You know, I want to be able to experience what having grandchildren feel like. And I'm just trying to protect myself, man.
That's not a crazy request.
Nah, it ain't. Now, I also understand that, you know, I'm a felon, so I can't possess firearms. But it's like risk-reward ratio. Risky is I could lose my life if I ain't got it. You feel me? And so, and the other risky is I can go to jail if I get caught with it. But the reward is I get to live. You feel me? So it's risk reward.
Do you think that the legal system is not empathetic to that?
I think it's not empathetic to that. I don't think they care. I mean, we African Americans off top, so I don't think they empathetic to us, period. But I understand. I understand how the game is played. And I knew I was risking my freedom when I was wiggling around there with that yeah. So once more, accountability.
I feel
you.
That.
Feel me? So I ain't mad.
You turn yourself in. How did you mentally prepare for that? And then also, what are things that you did to keep yourself sane? A lot of people lose their mind in there, bro. Like you said, you tapped into the books.
How I mentally prepared. I just spent more time with my family, dove into, you know, my children. It kind of put everything on pause. You know how we live in this life, you're running at 100 miles per hour, and I'm talking about in all aspects, musically, you know, with the fam, just overlooking things, you forget about things, you kind of take everything for granted. And so I felt like I was taking, you know, the presence of my children for granted. And when I realized that I wasn't gonna be able to hold them, hug them, prepare them for school, take them to school, pick them up from school, you know, paint with them, it kind of like took a toll on me, you know, momentarily. So I was just rocking with them. We going, you know, we beating up the restaurants, we beating up the malls. You know what I'm saying? It was just, you know, it was a gangster party with them. That's how I feel like I prepared. And of course, cooking up, just getting as much as music, you know what I'm saying? Me producing as much music as I could. Now, while I was in there.
Well, before we go to inside, what was the last 24 hours like?
Last 24 hours. Oh.
Leading up to that, what was that day? What was that 24 hours like for you?
I think I did a show because I came in late. And, you know, my girl was tweaking on me because I didn't get to sleep with her that night. So I did a show, came in late. And so I don't remember. The last 24 hours was a blur because I was drunk. I was thugging. I was living. It was just, I was just enjoying life. But the turn-in date, It was bittersweet, man. It was like, I ain't even want to talk to the kids. You know, I ain't even tell them where I was going. I just kept telling them that I'm going to be gone for a minute. Our whole ride there was silent. It was just silent.
No, quiet.
Just quiet. She wasn't playing the music. I wasn't requesting no music. You know, I'm just kind of like numb. Like, damn, I really gotta go knock this out. You know, they say that it's only 2 days that matter when you go to jail. It's the day you go in and the day you get out. And I think the day just going in, man, I was really beat up. I was smoking. So, you know what I'm saying, me, I was just chiefing you know, we'd pull over, I'd jump out and chief, get back in the car. It was just pure silence. Even when we got to the gate, you know, I hugged the kids. They act like I was just getting dropped off to the studio. You know what I'm saying?
They wasn't really aware.
Nah, I wasn't trying to put them in a main emotional state. I was trying to, you know what I'm saying, just, you know, I don't like doing my kids like that. I don't try to, because they sensitive. They sensitive. And they really function with me. So, yeah, that was it. It was dry. It was silent.
Did you take anything with you as far as, like, you know, maybe a picture of the kids, granny, anything? I don't know how it worked. I don't know if they allow you to do that, but.
Nah, I kind of, like, stripped myself of everything. I had a bracelet on, though. I had, like, a little bracelet that my daughter made me. And I try to sneak in with it, but they confiscated that too. I wrote some numbers down. They let me write the numbers down. I didn't want them going through my phone, so I kept my phone in the car. Wrote some numbers down, and they let me keep them numbers. So, you know, I was just writing, you know, my squad numbers, everybody who I felt like, you know what I'm saying, that was significant, who was going to pick up that phone for me. And, that was it. That was it.
I feel that. Now, when you get in there, I mean, obviously, that's not a new situation to you. So you know the program, you know how it works.
Yeah.
So that's not even need to be talked about. But as far as what did Mozzie do to pass the time? Like, you end up staying, I think it was 10 months, right? Mm-hmm. All in. But what did you do to, like, pass the time?
The first 30 days, they had me in a shoe. So it was like 24-hour lockdown. Due to COVID.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? So, they were supposed to be in house me, but I guess somebody had some altercations with me wherever I was going. They found out that I was getting housed there, so they told the police that, you know what I'm saying, they didn't want me on that yard with them. And the police kind of lightweight compromised with them, so they kept me in the shoe, and they was finna transfer me somewhere else. And then I guess he got rolled up and they finally let me go, you know what I'm saying, they finally let me program. So when I first get in there, you know, it's a gangster party. Nigga, we been waiting for you, bro. We heard you was coming, making my bed for me. I'm like, hold on, you ain't. They like, nah, hold on, we got you. I told them I was starving. I was in a shoe. I lost probably like 20, 30 pounds.
For real?
Yeah, because I couldn't adjust to their food.
What was they serving in there?
I ain't gonna lie, it was decent, but you know, you gotta understand, I'm at Morton's every night. You know what I mean? I'm at Fleming's, you know what I'm saying? Joey's. It's a gangster party. Boiling crab. You know
what I mean? Ain't none of that.
Yeah, ain't none of that. So you know, I had to adjust, but they had decent food, you know what I'm saying? Me, but
was it seasoned?
Nah, they was seasoned. It was seasoned. They did they Dougie, but I just couldn't. In the first 2-3 weeks, I think the first 20 days, I was off of oranges. Really? Anything else I could eat, like, you know, they might have something on the bowl. On a dish that was legitimate, and I banged that out. But you know, my celly was even telling me, like, bro, you gotta eat, bro.
You in here shriveling up.
Yeah, come on, get your life together. So I finally got it together. But when I got over there to where I was supposed to, where I belong, they filled me up. They told me, you just missed the store. We just had a store today. You missed it. Next week, they skipping store. So you probably ain't gonna be able to go to the store for about 14 days from now. And so I'm like, man, I just need a couple, you know what I'm saying, a couple of soups or something. They got me righteous, filled me up, Skittles, just little Zuzus and Wham Whams, and you know what I'm saying, me little Boule packets and all that.
Yeah. That's so, kind of like boiling crab, right?
Yeah.
A couple of soups.
Nah, yeah.
Soup you get spread, you know, with.
You know, we did what we did, but so it was lit, but I just was, I was in that library. I was beating that library up initially. I probably spent my first 45 days in that library.
What was you picking up? What was you reading?
Of course, you know, I'm a self-help book type of human being, man. Think the wealthiest man in Babylon.
Yep.
You know, I already read Rich Dad, Poor Dad,
yep.
But I double back on that.
Yep.
48 Laws of Powers.
Yep.
That's almost like a Bible. You can reread. I was heavy on real estate. I was tweaking on anything that was real estate related. Sports magazines, DuPont magazines, XXL magazines, then Four Agreements.
Four Agreements, yeah, Robert Greene.
Yeah. Then who else I had? The one I was just talking about, Law of Attraction. They had some other new laws of attraction in there. And then, you know, I had my pro black books too. So I can't think of their name, but you know, like the Huey P. Newtons and Marcus Garvey. And just, I was on that type of hype.
I like that. And so, other than the library, was
scribbling, writing raps. They let me get my Louis Vuitton little journal, so I be having the journal. Yeah, they let me slither that in there. Hey, I don't want to put it on blast like that, right? But I was really living in that joint, man. So, you know, I ain't gonna go there, man. I just understand that I had on, like, you know what I mean, Gucci flip-flops in there, man. They sent me Cartier goggles. I was living like that.
Yeah, the goggles are there?
Man, listen, I might have to send you a
picture. So, do you have prescriptions? You have prescriptions?
So, look, you get prescriptions, but I ain't have no prescription, but I'm Cartier frames in there. I'm living like that.
No lens?
Nah, I had the lens.
Oh, okay, I was about to
but
say.
But, you know, I'm telling them they prescriptions.
Oh, okay.
These prescribed, baby.
I can't see.
Yeah, I can't see without them.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I'm pulling up to the visit, man. Cartier prescriptions. Teddy shoes, man, a Miri trainers on. It was, life was lit, man. I ain't gonna overdo it like that,
yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, we eating In-N-Out burgers, and man, life was lit in that
that's
joint.
That's crazy. Okay.
Tweaky.
Okay.
It was tweaky.
So it's not all, because I remember I hit Davo like halfway through the stint,
mm-hmm.
And he was like, nah, he good. I'm like, are you sure? Like, I wanted, send me his His info, so I could, you know, write.
Real one, man.
So
I can make him like you, man.
And I'm like, bro, like, let me give me his info, so I can, you know, write to him, whatever. He was like, bro, he chilling, bro.
Yeah.
He not even tripping. I'm like, really? Like, yeah, bro. Like, it's all good. I'm like, okay, well. He's like, yeah, but look. Then he went like, but yeah, look, we got these records. I'm like, oh, so it's like,
oh yeah.
So y'all not tripping at all? I was like, okay, cool. So that.
Not most definitely. You know this. Once more, I don't really like
glorifying. We're not glorifying,
yeah.
It's the truth.
But as far as any time I've been in jail, man, this was the most peachiest state I have ever encountered. It was love. I can actually touch my children when they visit. You know what I'm saying? They was kind of like tweaking about me holding them, but I could touch them. We sitting there, we parlaying, we drawing, we coloring. It was lit, man.
When did the kids find out that you wasn't going to the studio? Like, how did they?
So now they pulled up on me, and I told them I was at a camp. I'm like, this is a camp. And, you know, they just didn't get it. So, you know, I think the first month, they was really unbothered, you know what I'm saying? Because they kind of getting away with murder. Yeah, Pop's ain't here. We kind of, you know what I'm saying? So, but after that 30 days, because it was 30 days I didn't get to see him. I was in a shoe. Then 30 days of, you know what I'm saying, them visiting and kicking it with me. So about 60 days in is when it was really started affecting them. And you know, the little one crying when it's time to leave. And
that tore you up.
Told me up, man. No sense. Yeah. And then the older one, you know, she just asked me, she was like, why you can't go with us? I'm like, I gotta stay here. I gotta follow through with my commitment, baby. She like, well, you too old to be doing that. She felt like I was too old to be sitting at
what?
A camp and can't
oh,
leave.
Oh, cause she thinking camp.
It's a camp. So she like, you too old, Dad. And so that really like, it left a stain on me, like I am too old. whether you understand what's really going on or not, I am too
old. She understands that part.
Yeah, you right about that. And so, you know, I kind of like carry that in my back pocket. Like, you know, a lot of things that I find myself indulging in, if I feel like I'm too old, it's like I hear a little vocals in my back in the background, like, you too old.
Your daughter gonna keep it real with you.
Man, you too old to be here. What are you doing? I love that.
That's fire, bro. I love that because it usually be those small little things that correct your.
Yeah, that'll put you in, you know what I'm saying? Get you, hold on, get it together. And like you said, it'd be smart and it'd be things that, like, she didn't know what she was saying when she said that, but, you know, me and my girl, we just chuckled because we like, she right, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, but,
That's
yeah, I'm through with that. I'm through with that, man. We shouldn't be encountering that no more.
That's what's up. So yeah, we can. So I also want to talk about. I want to talk about some of this music, bro. I want to go back too on.
Talk to me.
On Survivor's Guilt.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the song "Make the News."
Mm-hmm.
It's Gotti's on there. Black Youngster's on there.
Shout out Gotti. Shout out Youngster.
And that song was done before the CMG deal, right?
Nah, I think we did that after.
That was after the CMG deal.
Yeah, I think we did that after.
Okay.
But I had a relationship with Gotti before the CMG
deal. That's what I wanted to get into.
And I had a relationship with Youngster before I thought about being a CMG member. You know what I'm saying? Me, we already was locked in. So it's organic.
Because you've been, you've been indie and you've been doing your thing. I mean, you had previous situations, but it's pretty much been you and the team.
Most definitely.
And now going into a system, quote unquote, the machine and stuff like that, I think everybody was caught by surprise because it's like, wait, Mozzy is, you know, doing this thing. Like, you know, he's doing a deal and whatnot. And then I look at people like Russ, I look at LaRussell, and they're raving the independent flag or whatever. Mm-hmm. You being rich independently.
Yeah. let's pop our shit, okay. Baby.
That's what this part is.
Yeah.
So like you being rich independently, I like to pay attention to the fanfare, right? Mm-hmm. If a press release go out and says Mozzy does exclusive deal with so-and-so, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. That's a pivot. Mm-hmm. Because I know that it's been incubated for so long. It's just been a small circle of team, right? But then you talk about doing that record that was done after the deal, but you said you had a relationship already.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know, I guess the question is, what made you decide to go ahead and change the situation and not take it all to the face? Like,
nah, I just wanted to, first and foremost, shout out Gotti.
Shout out to your Gotti, bro.
Yeah, I love the way he operate. I like, you know, I love his movement, everything he got going on. And, you know, I wanted to just electrify what I had going on. I wanted to just electrify it, man. I felt like, you know what I'm saying, you know, I understand the business. I understand it independently. You got about 5 to 20 people on your team. But with that machine, you know, that jumped from 20 to 100 people working for you. And so I understand that. And I feel like we've been doing exceptionally well with this 5 to 20 people, you know, entourage. And so I just wanted to see if I could capitalize on that 100 piece, man, on that 100 unit, man, on that manpower, you know, that label offers, that machine. I wanted to see, you know, put me in rotation with that machine. Let's see where we get going. But I most definitely want to highlight that, I love the independent run. Love the independent run just because it's more intimate. Everything about it is intimate, you feel me? But I understand business, I respect business, and it's like, come on, let's turn it up a notch, man. You know what I'm saying, man?
I get you. Now, also something that's very interesting is I went back and looked, because we've been rocking for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You dropped every year since 2010. Did you know that?
Man, I for sure know that. I wish I could drop five projects a year. If I could drop
you
four
damn near
five
one
head,
year, one year you dropped like four, I think, in one year.
Yeah, I think early on.
Yeah.
Early on. Yeah, so you know, and once more, I respect.
Like, you haven't missed one year in 13 years.
Come on.
That's crazy. Bro.
Bite down, this will feed my squadron. This, you know, this, that, when I wake up in the morning and I jump in that automobile, man, it's, you know, it's foreign. you know what I'm saying? Me the sitting on a pair of Pirellis and four Giottos and some more of it, right? I'm pulling up into this driveway, man, and parking it in a garage where the square footage is crazy. You know what I'm saying? It's something like 2 point high. You know what I'm saying? 2 point suffer. I'm talking about, you know what I mean? And you know, this me, I'm paying mortgage on this. This car mine's, you know what I'm saying, man, I'm draped in the latest fashion. You know, I got relationships with the jeweler. I can tell him to see anything I want. You know, my kids is going to a prestigious, you know what I'm saying, me school. And, you know, life is lit. But that came from this.
Drop.
That came from this. That ain't come from selling bowls. It ain't come from pimping hoes. It came from this. And so I really respect the game. And, you know, this is what I've been dreaming of since yay high. So the fact that I'm actually here, I'm in love with it. When people interrupt my dinners, you know what I'm saying, me by wanting a picture or a photograph, or they want to FaceTime their mom because their mom in love with my music. You know, I give them that time of day, no matter if I'm with my family. Right. I give them that time of day because, you know, this is what I've been dreaming of. I sat on that bunk and I prayed for this life. You feel me? I'm here now. This is crazy. I wake up every daily astonished. So I can't complain. So most definitely, man, let's get that work in.
Songs, I know you're still tweaking the album. You know, you're a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that, More to You, that's my favorite song.
I thought that I meant More to You.
Yeah.
I sewed it up and went to war for you.
That one right there.
I ain't there, Lee. You stranded her. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that one right there.
I'm in love with that one. Your shit.
But I want to get to some of these, because I know we got to go, but on Righteous Man.
Okay. On Righteous Man. I didn't think you was going to feel the Righteous Man.
I'm going to tell you.
Talk to me.
I'm talking to you. Righteous Man. Supposed to pull up to the shows if you really want me.
Yeah.
Pay your mans to get it done.
If niggas really on me.
Okay. Let's hold that thought. But then we go to Act a Fool. My location on the flyer. Niggas pussy. They ain't gunning.
Huh?
Right? But then I look at the other song, which you should put the video out, If I Died Right Now. I feel like it's a lot of forecasting of death.
Go ahead, do your shit first.
And so the way I'm looking at, when I'm listening to the project, I'm like, oh, this is a lot of dark shadowing, but then I look at the cover and everything, it makes sense to me, right? And so I'm like, okay, I get the direction of where you're going, but do you feel like that? Do you feel like there's that energy around you?
I feel like I gotta maneuver around it. Every day of my life, I gotta maneuver around it. I'm always conscientious about, you know, how I'm moving, what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying, me? You know, and I know it exists. You feel me? I lose somebody 3-4 times a year. And when I say somebody, I'm talking about close ones, loved ones. And so just me understanding that, you know, like I said, I celebrate every time I wake up. I'm here, you know, I'm here in the present form. And so my whole thing is just, it's kind of like me trying to shake off that feeling. So I most definitely get them feelings, but it's like me shaking it off. You know what I'm saying? Me, my last case, it was for me finding ways to protect myself. And so I don't feel like I'm gonna check out earlier than expected. But I understand that's what lurks in the shadows, you know what I'm saying? And I can't help but put it in my music because sometimes it bothers me. And anything that bothers me, it just naturally oozes out. But I'm full of life. I'm living life. I'm enjoying life, man. I feel like I got plenty more life to go, but I can't shake my thought process. I can't shake, you know what I'm saying, me, what's real, man. And you know, that's one of my biggest fears, is just checking out before my time, man, and leaving that girly face gang stranded, or you know, not fulfilling my obligations. So I'm vulnerable in my music.
I feel
so I give you my true feelings. I give you you know, my true fears.
I'm with that. I think that it's important just to note that because, like, we need you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, look, at, like you said, you seen the album cover. So you look on the album cover. Anybody I put on that album cover, bro, these ain't, I'm not just grabbing faces from the archives to put on the album covers. These my real loved ones. These people I done grew up with day one, not a day ago. And I made it, you know, the album initially was gonna be called Genocide. We didn't switch the title, but that's the whole, that's anybody. I didn't put Granny Face on there because she didn't pass away due to genocide. You feel me? Now, anybody that's on that album cover is a participant or a casualty of genocide. And so, you know, just from that alone, that you see all the death that we deal with. I done paid for over 10 funeral services. You understand me? I done bailed hundreds of people out of jail, like in real life, no exaggeration. And so if you're dealing with all this death around you, you can't help but think like, damn, you know what I'm saying, me? Like, you know, this it's real, bro. And they ain't died, you know what I'm saying? They dying due to genocide, black on black activity, black on black crime. And so, you know, I understand it. It's like people ask me how old, when they talk about age, it's like I'm running to get to my 50s. You know, most people want to be young forever. I'm running to get to my 50s. I want to get to a point where I don't care what enemy I encounter with. They don't want to kill me because we too old to be doing this shit.
Yeah, I feel that.
You hear me? I want to be at a place where I'm just really at peace because I know it's not a soul on this earth that want me dead. You feel me? And so we not there yet. So that's why you hear that in the music.
Man, I appreciate you, bro.
My vice versa, my dog.
You know what I'm saying? You always keep it real with me. I always keep it 100 with you.
For sure.
I'm glad you're here. You look good. Your skin is
vice
growing.
Versa, man. You I just told you, you're getting younger and younger, my boy. Go on and give me the recipe, man. Yeah. What's the ingredients,
sea
man?
Moss. Huh? Sea moss. I've been
sea
on,
moss?
I've been on sea moss.
Activated?
Bro, sea moss and bitters, bro. I put you on.
Yeah, we gonna holler. We gonna holler.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you, bro. Congratulations on everything. You know, get home to that girly gang.
Yeah.
Stay free.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, big dog. Love.